Kate just read Psalm 118 a few moments ago, and it's a really beautiful, surprisingly important psalm. It shows up in our liturgy all the time. You may have heard, "This is the day the Lord has made," and some other things in there. A lot of that comes from Psalm 118. And also, if you're ever like in a trivia contest and people want to know what the absolute middle of the Bible is, like where the middle verses are, there's a debate whether it's Psalm 117 or 118. It's one of those two. It all depends on how you count certain things. But I think it's probably around Psalm 118, verse 8 or 9. So there you go. File that away. Today is Palm Sunday, and so we read the Palm Sunday story from Luke. Several times already this morning, somebody has asked me, I thought Jesus rode in on a donkey. And it does say donkey in Matthew and Mark, but in Luke, it's a colt. Now, we could talk about why, but that's going to have to be like the next time we preach Palm Sunday from Luke, okay? We'll talk about the colt next time. That's not really my focus today. But it is a difference there. The Gospels have subtle differences. But they all agree on the fact that Jesus goes up into Jerusalem to fulfill his duty to God and to humankind during Holy Week. And so this is the story of Jesus' entry according to Luke. Chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. After Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked him, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks before him on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they were saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd then said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" Chapter 19 from the Gospel of Luke, the story of Palm Sunday by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I want to invite any of my young friends to come up for our time with young disciples if you want to. Excellent. I don't have a microphone. Good morning, everybody. We're going to sit right here on these steps. I'm just getting Christopher's microphone on real quick. Okay, Christopher said he was going to talk about the colt, C-O-L-T, versus the donkey the next time it comes around in Luke, but I'm going to actually talk about it today. He didn't know that. I'm going to actually talk about it today, and first I wanted to say, we have had a birthday party in my house last night for a couple of people, and it was kind of a fun celebration. And you know how, have y'all ever had a birthday party?
Yeah.
Either y'all ever had one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever been to one that's not your birthday?
Yeah.
Of course you have. And when you go to things like birthday parties, people celebrate, don't they? They're excited, and you get cake and presents, and you feel like you're the star of the day, right? Or whoever's birthday it is, you feel like you're the star of the day. Well, that's kind of what Palm Sunday was like. And the scripture that Pastor Christopher just read, he's going to talk about one way, and I'm going to talk about another way. I think the scripture seems pretty wild. I think it seems pretty crazy. So I'm going to walk us back through the scripture to make sure that we paid attention to the wild and crazy things in it, okay? So the first thing I want to say is that Jesus goes up to his disciples, his friends that he spends the most amount of time with, and you know what he says to them? He says, "I want you to go into town And I want you to find somebody who owns a colt. Do you know what a colt is? A horse. Who owns a horse that's never been ridden. So it's a brand new horse to them. I want you to find somebody, and I want you to tell them that I need this horse. What? Does that not sound crazy? Like, I want you to go to them, and I want you to say, give me your horse, because Jesus needs it. That's crazy. Because horses would they have been cheap or expensive? Expensive. They're still expensive. And would they have been pets, or would they have been people's way of transportation, their way to get around town? Both. They would have been both, but mostly there would have been their way to get around town. So if Jesus takes the colt, then these people have no way to get around town, right? And they have paid good money for this horse. So it's kind of crazy. So the people do exactly what Jesus said. Jesus' friends go into the town and they start taking the horse. And the owners come up and say, what on earth are you doing taking my horse? And they say, the Lord, that's Jesus, has need of it. And do you know what the owners do? Do they let him have it? Yes, they let him have the horse. Is that crazy or what? It would be as if Jesus were to say to you two, go and find somebody near White Memorial. Go and find a car that is brand new, that has never been driven, and go ahead and open up the door and start driving away with it. And if anybody says to you, why on earth are you driving this car? You say, well, Jesus needs to have it. Like, that's kind of what we're dealing with here in this story. And then once they say Jesus needs to have it, the owners say, okay, you can have it. And then you know what else people do? This sounds kind of wild and crazy too. The people start taking their coats off and throwing them on the horse so Jesus has a soft place to sit. They throw their coats on the ground so that even the horse has a soft place to walk. They go into their backyards and all over the place, and they grab these palm branches, and they start waving them, celebrating Jesus like you would somebody at a birthday party. Like, it's a big celebration. That is how much they trusted Jesus. They trusted Jesus with their car and their coats and everything. It was this grand celebration. That's how much they love Jesus. That's pretty cool, right? We know that the story is going to get a little bit sad, but right now in the story, we know that they're really, really excited about Jesus. So will you pray after me? Will you repeat out loud? And they don't need to be the only ones saying stuff out loud, because that's a lot of pressure on them. So will y'all repeat after me too? Okay. Dear God,
dear God,
thank you for celebrations.
Thank you for celebrations.
And thank you for Jesus.
And thank you for Jesus.
Who came to be
the Savior of the world.
Help us to trust in Him.
In good times
and in hard times.
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. And y'all, I think if there's a shepherd, there she is. There's a shepherd right there. So if y'all want to go with her to worship in Richmond, you'll do all kinds of fun stuff. Thank you, everybody, and I could have listened to them pray really forever. I don't know if y'all could hear them, but it was a beautiful sound in my ear.
So in the event there are parents of young children listening at home right now, or maybe a few in here where your children are in the nursery, I'm going to give you a pro tip. So invariably your child is going to say, Dad, can I have a horse? Especially after that time with children. And you're going to say, no, you may not have a horse because you don't really want a horse. And then this is the phrase. And you're going to say, what you really want is a friend with a horse. Right? Same thing goes with boats. I have a whole list of things, right, that are like that. Next time this comes up in the lectionary, we'll talk about the colt a little bit. It's really quite an amazing difference between Luke and Matthew. They have a serious disagreement about it. But today I want to start off with something else that I think is amazing, as I pray that God will help us to trust the message more than the messenger. I want to start off with what is a remarkable little idiom in the Hebrew language. And remember, the Old Testament in our Bible is written in Biblical Hebrew. And in the Biblical Hebrew, you can only use the word up when it comes to the city of Jerusalem. For example, in Hebrew, you cannot say, let's go down to town, with town being Jerusalem. Let's go down to Jerusalem. In Hebrew, you can only say, hey, we're going up to Jerusalem. Would you like to come with us? When it comes to Jerusalem, it's always up. It's always up. As if you ascend to the holy city, as if your journey there is a journey there is to climb to some sort of higher space of spiritual awareness or spiritual consciousness. And remember, Jerusalem is as ancient and as revered as any single city in this entire world. And it's not called the holy city or the city of peace for nothing. And so go up to Jerusalem, always up. Up to Jerusalem, full of hope and full of promise. Now, whenever I read that phrase somewhere else in the Bible, or when I read it today in Luke, I always remember the most joyful of the Psalms. I really do. And I always remember also those monumental moments of the Bible that happen on mountaintops and in high places. And there are many of these. The Sermon on the Mount. Where does Moses receive the law of God, the Torah? Up on top of a mountain. The kind of places that you have to walk up to get. Like, you can't go down to the top of a mountain. You have to go up to get there. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes up to the hills from where my help comes. Over and over again, this is repeated in Scripture, ascending, climbing, invigorating, inspiring, always up to have our souls lifted up to Jerusalem. The way they understood it was to experience something of the same. And even though the Gospel of Luke is written in Greek, Biblical Greek, the New Testament is written in Biblical Greek, just like the Old Testament was written in Biblical Hebrew, even though Luke was written in the Biblical Greek, he picks up this Hebrew idiom at verse 28 of chapter 19, the first verse I read today, where it says, after Jesus said this, he went on ahead of them, going up to Jerusalem. Now, Luke is not required to do this. The language doesn't require it. But Luke chooses to do this out of deference to the older Hebrew idiom. And here's what's really interesting. If you read the text I read today a little more closely, it'll say, as Jesus was going down. Because if you've ever been to the Holy Land, or if you ever get to go, you'll notice when they take you on the tour to the Mount of Olives that the Mount of Olives is pretty high up above Jerusalem. The way you get to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives is you go down, except you have to go up. So even though it's down, it's really up. Everybody with me? It's always up to Jerusalem. It's always up to Jerusalem. You say up even when it's not. So what is he going up for? He's going up for Holy Week. The 1 week of his 33 years of life that was more determinative than any single other. It takes up more chapters in the four Gospels than any other moment in his life. It is, in the eyes of the Christian faith, the most consequential week in human history. Going up to Jerusalem, always up, beginning with his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, creates a series of dynamic intersections for Jesus. And whenever you're reading your scriptures at home or you're studying it in your devotional, always look for the dynamic intersections. God speaks through all scripture, but really in the dynamic intersections, that's where God is shouting the loudest. This is the intersection, Holy Week, of triumph and tragedy. It's the intersection of glory and shame. It's the intersection of absolutely confirmed lordship and yet the Lord being found a criminal, tried and guilty and then crucified. The crux of this week, and note that we get the word crux from the word crucifixion, the crux of all of it, our faith, hangs in the balance here. And Jesus passes the test, choosing to offer himself for the sins and errors and shame of the world, consciously choosing to go up to Jerusalem, and from that choice, then up to the cross, and from that choice, then up, carrying all of us up there upon his back. In this moment of Palm Sunday, when he finally gets up into Jerusalem, it's unrivaled in the life of Jesus, because for a moment there is such hope, there is such possibility, there is such recognition, there is such joy, if it's only for a moment. I say recognition because here the people finally recognize him. All through the Gospels, they have trouble recognizing Jesus. There's lots of speculation as to why this is. Sometimes it's because Jesus says, don't tell anybody who I am. Sometimes maybe Jesus is responsible for some of it. It may be that they lived in a world without corrective lenses, and they just really couldn't tell what he looked like anyway. Mostly they get him confused with John the Baptist, who was also preaching throughout much of Jesus' life, some similar things, or like one of the old prophets. The great prophets like Elijah and Elisha, they're constantly getting Jesus confused with other people. But for this moment, they get it right. They get it right. Not only do they get it right, but they start waving palms. They start shouting their praises. They lay their cloaks upon the ground so that neither Jesus nor this colt will accumulate dust on their precious feet. Now, y'all, I've been alive 50 years. I've been alive 50 years, and never has anyone thrown their coat on the ground on top of a mud puddle so my shoes wouldn't get muddy for me. And if that has happened for you, to you, will you please find me after worship? Because I want to hear that story. I do. Why? Because it's ridiculous. It's the kind of thing you only do for the king. The kind of king who can say, give me your coat, Anne. And you get the coat because you're the king. Because the king's so precious that his feet shouldn't be muddied. Neither should his horses. It's truly a kingly gesture. The people are getting at least some of it right. The whole multitude, Luke tells us, the whole multitude is praising God joyfully with loud voices. And Jesus lets them do it even while he knows so much more than them or his disciples or even us, really. What does he know? Well, he knows the divine secret, that he's not going up, always up to Jerusalem to ascend a throne, but instead to ascend a cross. He's not going up for a crown of gold, but one of thorns. The festival of palms, the festival of praises, will give way to the passion of Jesus, which was his arrest and his torture. And it's only going to happen in a matter of days. It happened so quickly up there in Jerusalem this Holy Week. The cries of praise turn into shouts for crucifixion. In other words, the thing to remember every Palm Sunday, at least for part of the service, is that Jesus really isn't going up to the holy city. He's not going up to Jerusalem just for the palms. He's really going up for Good Friday. Now, 2 years ago, I preached in this sanctuary virtually alone. It was Palm Sunday 2020, and I think Kate was a placeholder. She sat right out there so I didn't have to look at no one, and maybe one other person, and maybe one of our organists was with us. I don't remember. But it was a strange time, and I was struggling for what to say, and that week my aunt, Kathy Silverberg, she's not really an aunt. She's my mom's college roommate, so when I was a child, we called her Aunt Kathy. Aunt Kathy Silverberg was a lifelong columnist, a newspaper woman in newspapers throughout the South. And she wrote a column that week talking about how 2020 for her had mirrored Holy Week. She said it began with a bang the year, right? She wrote about going to all sorts of parties and festivals and galas that winter and how it was so exciting and how she was living the high life in South Florida and that her biggest concern, right, before COVID hit was traffic. And then she writes, everything came to a full stop. I'm sure y'all remember this, right? March 2020, am I the only? I don't think so. March 2020, it all came for a full stop. And that week of Holy Week, she wrote this. She wrote, and for so many in ancient times, as for so many, even in ancient times, there is a tendency for us to look for a savior, to try to find someone or something that will get us out of our crisis. Is there a pill or an injection that will keep us from getting sick? Those who greeted Jesus in Jerusalem, she writes, were hoping for better times. And today we are hoping, we are praying for the day when the crisis will be behind us, when the ground under our feet is more stable, and when we no longer feel unmoored. End of quote. See, in the Gospels, we're told that the people shouted Hosanna. What does Hosanna mean? It means save us. As in save us from hunger, Jesus. As in save us from Rome, Jesus. As in save us from sin, save us from shame. My Aunt Kathy was right in her column 2 years ago. We're all the time looking for a hero. We are all the time requiring a savior. We are all the time looking for evidence of salvation itself. And on Palm Sunday, Luke tells us the savior is coming up. Always up, friends. It's always up. Always up to meet us and greet us and to offer us the very heart of God. I mean, can't you just imagine Jesus going up to Jerusalem, knowing what lies before him? If it were me, I think I would turn the horse around. It couldn't be that hard, right? I mean, I've only ridden a few horses, but if I was scared enough, I believe I could get it to go in the direction I wanted it to. I would be headed back to Nazareth, back to Mama's kitchen, back to some place that felt safe. That's where I'd be going. Lay low for a while. Hide out until the storm passes. But that's not Jesus. Up to Jerusalem, would I go? I have my doubts. Would you? See, we call him Lord in part because he always goes up. He always goes up. Up into the city, fully and completely understanding the end game. It's checkmate, friends, and he knows it. And he goes nonetheless. Now, you might not be ever called to go up to Jerusalem like Jesus did. But I bet you're called to go up to some place from time to time. To make a case for something, to make a hard decision, to do something, to try to help a friend, to stage a defense, to explain a decision, to ask for something that it's hard to ask for. Called up to some difficult circumstance or situation. Back in school, did you ever get called up to the principal's office? Young man, can you explain yourself? I'm not saying that happened to me, but how about up to the boss's office? Dear Mr. Edmondson, I'm free today at 3. So are you, period. How about this? It's a good thing. You had to go up to the supervisor's office and have the courage to ask for that raise. How about to that family meeting? Many of you have been to these family meetings. Mom and dad need more help, but they don't want any more help. And so one of the siblings says, "We got to talk." And you go up to the meeting and you know that it's going to be tough. Called up to the hospital to say goodbye. You need to get up to this hospital. It's time. How about called to the intervention? There's a cousin, a childhood friend, who's making all the wrong choices, hurting themselves and their families, and you get called to go to administer some tough love, to cry with people. You call up, you go up to that job interview, you get on the elevator up for the interview, for the new opportunity that you've been waiting for your whole life. You call up into that new opportunity only to face imposter syndrome. I don't belong here, I made a mistake, and then have to dig deeper to go up again to the next challenge. You go up to marriage or maybe up to remarriage. You go up to new possibilities that you could not have imagined for any other time or any other place. Up, up, always up. It means to embrace something that will challenge us, stepping up. And when we do this, even in the hardest times, our character grows. And I believe our faith is made stronger. I really do. I really do. Sometimes as we go up to new things, the stakes get higher. And with each clippity-clop of the hooves of that colt, the stakes are getting higher with Jesus. The people are shouting, Hosanna. And you have to wonder what Luke doesn't tell us. In the back, murmuring on the back of the crowds, you know, well, if that's the guy is the Messiah, where's his sword? If that guy's the Messiah, when's he going to start breaking the power of Rome and drive the army out? You know, I'm hungry. When's he going to feed me? Will the kingdom of God start today? I heard he could turn bread into stones into bread, didn't you? And it's when he doesn't do any of that that maybe it gets hard. You see, they think he's come up to Jerusalem to save them through power, but really he's come to rescue them by sacrifice. This means high stakes for Jesus. And so it doesn't take long for the detractors and the enemies to start to turn the public opinion against him. You heard the detractors and the enemies, right? They were in the last two verses. Luke tells us that people were singing Jesus' praises. Yeah, shouting Hosanna, waving the palms. Yes, that's all there. But there's also those who tell Jesus, tell everybody to be quiet. Hush them up. Make them stop. It's ridiculous. You can't silence hope. And that's what they're trying to do, silence hope itself. And then Jesus gives them this wonderful, beautiful rebuke. It's one of the great moments of the Bible, really. The last verse of our selection today, Jesus says to them, well, if these people were silent, then the stones themselves would cry out. It's Jesus' way of saying that all of creation praises his birth and his presence and his arrival up in Jerusalem. Only made possible by entering the city in the first place. My friends, it would be impossible to underscore the importance and vitality of Jerusalem in the life of Jesus and in the life of our Christian faith. I think it would be impossible to fully explain what Judaism thinks about Jerusalem as well, our Jewish cousins. Jerusalem is central for both. While Nazareth and Bethlehem and Capernaum are of great importance, Jerusalem is the crucial, also a word which is derived from crucifixion. Jerusalem is the crucial location for Jesus' life, as is and was no other place. And on Palm Sunday, Jesus finally arrives there, going up to begin his Holy Week journey. Thank goodness he does. Thank goodness he did. Thank goodness he carries hope and promise with him as he ascends the holy city upon the colt, entering like a kingly savior, exiting as a resurrected Lord. Up to Jerusalem he went to secure our understanding that he is Lord and Savior of the world. Yeah, up to Jerusalem our Holy Week begins. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The challenge of planning worship for Palm Sunday is there's a lot of good music. The first hymn we sung, All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Anybody notice in the notes when that was written? The year 820 by Theodulfus of Orleans. And he wrote that text. They sang it to a different tune, but it's the same text. That one, which is a perfect poem, was written in 1664, the words. He came from heaven's throne, salvation to bestow. The world that was his own would not its Savior know. But oh, my friend indeed, who at my need his life did spend. What's brilliant about that is it could have used, oh, my Lord indeed, but friend. Jesus is our friend. He wants to love us like a friend. He wants to know us as a friend. And he goes to Jerusalem up, always up, like I said, as a friend, taking us with him. That story is the beginning of Holy Week, and it's one that sustains us, friends. Spend some time this week. Take that booklet home. Like, read the devotions. Come to worship. If you can't make it in, stream and follow along in the bulletin. Spend some time with the Lord this week. You will be richer for it, I promise.
And above all, go in peace to love and serve the Lord this day, that in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, we would all be blessed until we meet again. Amen.